So today, Holy Spirit wants to talk about something that I find it so funny the way he's worded it. And he's called it the joy of being dead. I think it, you know, he has an amazing sense of humor. And we don't understand what being dead really means. Recently, you know, you'll find people commenting, whether it's posts in Facebook or whether it's, you know, just conversations, wanting to still have their say in their relationship with God, still have their position, still have their points that they will stand on to prove what they believe is true. And, you know, how he's shown me this week, actually, interestingly enough, in just the last couple of days, is that those people don't know they're dead. And that's why they're so adamant of proving their point. Because when you know you're dead, there's nothing to prove. You're not even there. You're not having to espouse a certain frame of mind or an argument or anything like that. And he wants us to live as dead. Those are his words. Live as dead. Because if we live as dead, we will really live. Because what does it say? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And most of Christendom doesn't have a clue what that actually means, and certainly doesn't live it. It's not a reality. The reality is, okay, I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm one with God, but of course we don't even get that. Most Christians don't even know what that means. I'm going to heaven. Things are hard here. I'll wait till I get there and it'll be better. In the meantime, I'll read the word without the Spirit, trying to intellectualize and have an intellectualized faith, get by and never even know that not only that I am dead, who I was, the body of sin, the former self, the old man, however we want to term it, is dead. Not just be ignorant of that, but be ignorant of what and who and how I was made and what particular purpose and destiny I was made for, the imprint of God on me. If we're not dead, we will never know what we were made for, because we will try to determine it ourselves, and we will superimpose our belief systems, our understanding, our background, our history, our ancestry, you know, whatever it is, on his plan for our lives, because there's no yielding. If you're not dead, you're not yielded. You're only you're play acting, and I think most of Christianity, or for most Christians, is play acting. And that scripture that makes it so clear. I mean, there's so many scriptures that make it clear. But the one in Galatians 2:20 that says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Love. Being dead is because you're loved. You know, people don't want to be dead because they think it's a bad thing. And oh, but if I disappear, what happens? You know, I'll have no life. No. If the former self that you admit, see, we already were crucified. We're pretending we're not crucified. We're living a lie when we do that. When we want to be in charge of our life, in control of our life, determine every decision, argue our points, we're denying the truth that we were crucified. Christians are walking around with these masks on, pretending that they are fulfilled, on the right path, one with God, but not living it. See, the truth is they are one with God, and they are dead, and they were crucified, but they don't live it. And if you don't live it, there's no fulfillment whatsoever. So the joy of being dead is once you're dead, you're free. and he's free in you. See, the Holy Spirit wants to be set free. And if we admit that we're dead, we were crucified, we no longer live, but he lives in us, we are free. And then all of the pretense, all of the need to prove ourselves, all of the vain arguments, like it even says in here, you know, the next one in Galatians 2:21 then, is I do not set aside the grace of God. This is why grace is so crucial. People argue it because they're so afraid that people are saying, oh, that means you can do anything you want and God covers you. It's like they're missing the entire point of grace. Grace means I'm dead, was crucified, I have no righteousness except through him, by grace, and the law has no power over me anymore. I do not set aside the grace of God, Paul said, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I mean, people don't realize when they're arguing that, you know, this is cheap grace, you're going to take advantage of grace, you're going to abuse grace if you tell people they can do whatever they want, which is not what anyone's saying anyway, but that's the argument against it. They're saying that if you do that, then people will run riot in the streets. But the actuality is, if you admit you're dead, who's running riot? There's nobody there. What, is a corpse going to run riot in the streets? The essence of Christianity is that we were crucified with Christ and we no longer live. That's where our total freedom is. That's when joy comes, because when you are dead and you let God fully live through you and the oneness of who you are now. See, when we say we're dead, we think it's the personality and the soul. We're not even talking that. Who's dead is the one that was aligned and united and one with Satan. That's the one that's dead. The one that now lives is the one that is united and one with Christ, living through the Holy Spirit in oneness. So who wants to keep that dead man that's aligned with Christ, with Satan, alive? But that's what people do. They will take their entire lives, Christians. This is not unbelievers or sinners or however we want to term people. This is Christians want to drag that old man around. Rotting flesh. This is what they used to do. You know what they used to do in Roman times? I heard this description of it. I mean, it was horrific. If someone had murdered someone, this was in one area. I don't know if it was one area of Rome or one distinct period of Roman law, but this was one of the times that Paul is referring to, you know, dragging the dead man around. They used to, if you had murdered someone, they took the murdered body, they would tie it to you in a way that you could not get free. That dead flesh to your flesh. And you know what would happen? It would actually rot your own flesh, the dead man. That's what's happening to Christianity. The dead man that was from the time of Adam had become Satan's captive, was aligned and one with Satan, and took on his characteristics. People still, as Christians, hold on to, and it's killing them. So the joy of being dead is that you are free. That thing comes right off of you. You're crucified with Christ. Well, I no longer live. People don't understand what that means. They think it means they're annihilated. No, the lie of who they were is annihilated. That dead man and dead flesh that was going to destroy and eat you up is gone forever. And now you're free to live in the spirit of liberty. People are terrified of liberty. So they'd rather have rotting flesh. They'd rather be consumed by their past, by their belief systems, by the points that they have to stand on. That is their preference to freedom. That's how terrified of freedom they are, because the enemy has made freedom into some kind of horrifying prospect where you can't trust Holy Spirit. You certainly can't trust the human being, because the human being is evil. They still think they're evil. See, if you died and you were crucified with Christ, how can you be evil? I'm dead. Evil doesn't exist in me anymore. But they don't get it. That was the amazing event of the cross. And something that he's just recently shown me is that when you face and accept and even celebrate your death, because you were crucified with Christ, that's when your life comes alive. That's when your purpose comes to the surface. And you find yourself living in freedom. And when people, I've had people critique or criticize some of the preaching that I did in Kenya. Now these are Wazungu, white people, Western people, that don't understand, even if they've been there. I know some people have been there and still criticize how I preached. And with raised eyebrows, you know, you're going to incite these people. Because they have no faith in Holy Ghost. They don't know what he can do to the inside of a person. He can transform you from the inside out. We all know that to some degree. But he's talking about today that when you face that you're dead, but really face it, not just say it, you know, okay, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, but to live it. I got to experience that in Kenya, what it was like to be dead, and it was so fun. It wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't what I'm doing today. It wasn't look at what I've done. It wasn't even comparing myself to Africans. None of that was there. It was just free-flowing Holy Ghost. Freedom. Total freedom. And that's the joy he wants every Christian to have. What is the point of being crucified with Christ and that we no longer live and he lives in us? And what do we do it by? We do it by faith. See, people want this. It's almost like they want a fact sheet. I had a near argument with someone the other day about them being concerned that, you know, if you sin and you think you're going to get away with it, you know, you're not going to get into heaven. I mean, they were still so law-based, saying they had nothing to do with the law, but they were extremely law-based. And in that argument, exchange of ideas, let's put it that way, because it wasn't like anyone was raising voices, but in that exchange of ideas, there never was an acceptance of being crucified with Christ. And that's why people hang on to the law. Because they didn't die. Now, isn't the law supposed to be dead for us? It says that we're delivered from it. We're no longer under it. We're no longer a part of it. We're no longer tied to it. But people keep that dead man of flesh, who they were, the old man, and the law that condemned them, they keep it tied to themselves. And there's no joy. Because if you're not dead, there's no joy. Because the former self is actually not even alive. So you're keeping something alive that isn't there, that isn't even living. And that's why the living God doesn't get a chance in most Christians' lives. Because they still want to formulate things. They still want to analyze. They still want to dissect God as if a human being can dissect the infinity of God. But that's what they're attempting to do. So he wants us to walk in freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Holy Spirit is that Spirit. So in being aware of his presence, you know, the only way people really are going to know that they are dead and he lives is through the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one who lives in you and is one with you. What happens is people try to avoid getting to know Holy Spirit because they, number one, don't even know he's a person. And without a relationship with him, you're never going to understand the depths and the things of God. But they try to do it by their own thinking. And it's the height of arrogance under the guise of humility. And that's what's been happening for centuries. This is not a new thing. This is an old, old thing. But he wants to say today, and he's been trying to say it for a long time. I mean, he wrote it in the book, right? that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you, and you're crucified. And when we accept that, rather than taking it upon ourselves to try to prove what that means, analyze it, dissect it, deny it, to actually accept it and say, Holy Spirit, I don't have a clue what it means to be crucified with Christ. You teach me. You show me. And He will. But see, the first thing you've got to do is yield to the Holy Spirit and admit He's a person and He lives in you. And that first step is what many, many, the majority of Christians will not take. The ones in the Western world won't take it because of arrogance and they're very cerebral. See, when you go to somewhere like Kenya or any country that's, you know, in third world or developing world conditions, however we want to describe it, a lot of poverty, a lot of economic difficulty. When you go to somewhere like that, it is so unordered. Your thinking is also unordered there. There's a certain freedom in that. You're not in control. When I first got there, I was in shock at the disarray of this place. And I wasn't coping with it, to be honest. The first day I was there, and I'd also had a lot of jet lag and very long flight and a lot of pain. I'd gotten attacked with a lot of pain in my back while I was on that flight. And so I wasn't, you know, in the best frame of mind to begin with. But nonetheless, I was in total shock of the disarray around me. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And it was only through the Holy Spirit that I got transformed and asked Him to help me and asked Him what my dare was. And He said, dare to be love. So that was a big challenge. And I needed His assistance and then some. And He transformed my heart to be love there. But what I found, the freedom in being in a reality or an environment where everything is not continually ordered perfectly. You know, our lives are so ordered in the Western world that it took me out of that place where we want to